All right, our scripture text this morning is taken from the first book of Samuel. The first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. By way of introduction, let's take a look at the context. At the beginning of chapter 1, we read, Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. So we meet Elkanah, a godly man in many ways, except for the fact that he had two wives in violation of the law. Polygamy is stated and recorded as fact in the scriptures where it occurs, but it is never endorsed. Marriage was always intended to be between one man and one woman, and that alone. Now in the second verse, we read, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. So, having met Elkanah, now we're going to meet Hannah, a godly woman, one of Elkanah's wives. She was barren. Of course, barrenness in the Hebrew understanding was often seen as a curse of God. And as a result of her barrenness, Hannah found herself in bitterness of soul. But yet, she was relentless in prayer. Often found in the house of the Lord, which in that day was in Shiloh. Of course, these are the days prior to Solomon building the temple, the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. She was not only persistent in prayer for herself, but she shared her need with others. Aside from sharing that need with her husband, she shared her need most notably with Eli, the priest, and I would suppose all of those who were faithful to congregate in the house of the Lord in that day. You see, Hannah believed in intercessory prayer. That is, praying for others, that God might work in their lives. Do you believe in intercessory prayer? Well, most certainly, in the scriptures, we're commanded to do it and given numerous occasions where praying for others worked. For the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now her prayer would be answered. God would give Hannah a son. And her son's name would be Samuel. In the providence of God, Samuel would become the last of the judges of Israel and arguably the greatest, and a great prophet in Israel. His ministry is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 25, in which we read of his death. Behold the legacy of the godly man and the godly woman, carried down unto the next generation and those who would be spiritually awakened as a result of his ministry. This morning, however, we're going to be keeping our focus particularly upon Hannah, that great godly woman of old, who said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." That idea of lent also has the connotation of given, the literal meaning being granted. So they worshiped the Lord there, right where they stood. In our text, we're going to notice three things this morning. First, godly sorrow led Hannah to prayer. Secondly, that it was Hannah's first desire that her child know the Lord. And third, that Hannah had an attitude of gratitude. First, godly sorrow led Hannah to prayer. Hannah was exceedingly sad because of her barrenness. We read that she was in bitterness of soul, and she wept in anguish. See, she was struggling with the struggle of depression over her lot, a struggle that is common to so many. Those in such a struggle have two choices at the outset. They can despair and give up, or they can do what Christian did in A Pilgrim's Progress. They can persevere, being perplexed but not in despair. In the words of the apostle of old, turning to Christ in prayer, casting all of their cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. When you're tempted to give up, remember the clarion call of mercy. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If God is for us, who can be against us and succeed? Be it worldly wickedness or spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember Hannah and her response after this manner, saying, "Lord, to whom shall I go?" Knowing that it was God in heaven who held the whole world in his hands, as it were, who alone has the words of eternal life. And in everything, in prayer, in supplication, beseeching the living God that he might have mercy upon her. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know where you're going to go when your number's called. To whom will you go in that day of need, if indeed you have the opportunity at that moment? I beseech you, call unto him now. Call unto the Savior. Look, all ye ends of the earth, to him who 2,000 years ago was hung up on that tree for your sins, to pay the penalty for your sin, to pave the way to heaven for you with his blood. For there was no other way. Hannah never gave up in her pursuit of God, and she found herself blessed. Secondly, this morning, I want you to notice that it was Hannah's first desire that her child would know the Lord. Both Hannah and her husband affirmed their vow to dedicate their son, Samuel, to the service of the Lord God. She didn't pray that he would have a lot of money or go to school and make a name for himself in this world. But her desire was that her child know the Lord. You see, Hannah realized full well that that baby was a gift from God, and that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a what? A reward. A reward. Hannah's earnest prayers were rewarded in a mighty way in that day. Hannah also realized that the most important thing for Samuel was his spiritual welfare. Why? Why? Spiritual welfare is eternal. As we have said, worldly welfare and prosperity is only good for those few years of one's life under the sun. The grass grows up and it withers. It's here and it's gone. You see, this is the message that great preacher of wisdom, Solomon, preached in the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. And again, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. In other words, before you grow old, before it's too late. Remember your Creator now. And I could analogize it after this manner. Now, we bought a house in this great city 6 years ago, and we immediately set forth to planting, you know, sprucing up the yard and making it look beautiful so that the property itself might be a testimony to the way, the care in which God's people act as stewards over the gifts that God has given them. Now, we begin when our time in that house was young, right? And over time, the rewards would be reaped, right? The property might become a place of beauty. Now, if we hadn't done that, our yard today would be a mess. If we didn't remember when our time in that property was new, our yard would still be the same mess that it was when we moved there. And it's the same way in the spiritual life. We begin following Christ, and we can begin to plant. We can begin to sow good seed for the kingdom of heaven, that the Lord might be glorified and honored in our spiritual stewardship. Or we can let our life go, We can let our spiritual life go and become a mess. And then where would it be 6 years from now? In the same state that it was when it began. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed. There we have it in our subtext. Hannah desired two things for little Sammy, right? I suppose she might have called him Sammy, as we might our little baby if we'd given him the name Samuel. She desired to see him in heaven, and she desired for him to have a peaceful, godly life here on earth. Now, how could these things be affected? How do we affect these things? By modeling a faith in God, modeling and teaching a faith in God, and modeling and teaching reliance upon Scripture as God's perfect word and the standard for all matters in faith and practice. And Hannah, the godly mom, you might say, a woman after God's heart, taught Samuel just that, to be faithful in God alone and to rely upon his word. Now, I'm certain that the godly mother's prayers did not stop after the birth of her baby. She did not say, well, I have my child now. Let me go my way. But no, she granted her child to the Lord for the duration of his life, seeking his spiritual welfare above all other things. Hannah's prayer for Samuel continued daily for her entire life. Now, there are some here who have a mother or a grandmother or have had the blessing of a mother or a grandmother for a certain amount of years upon this earth. She being daily in prayer and at times in great anguish of soul for you, sacrificing day by day, setting aside her own agenda so that your welfare might go forth to the glory of God, sacrificing after the example of her Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Children, young and old, honor your mother. Honor your mother today and each day, for in so doing, you will uplift her spirit. You will give her a gift, figuratively speaking, an ornament about her neck, thereby glorifying God in heaven by your obedience. Break not her tender heart with your stubborn pride and rebellion anymore. For it has caused her much sorrow, and yet she continues praying for you. May her prayers for your salvation and your sanctification, your spiritual welfare, be answered this morning to the glory of Christ Jesus. Moms, may your prayers for the souls of your children be answered in the affirmative today. Thirdly, Hannah had an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. Praise and thanksgiving were not counted small things in her prayer life, and therefore she did not neglect them. She was found often in the house of worship, so too ought we to be. She was found often in her prayer room in private worship, and so too ought you and I to be. The consolations of God were great in her eyes. She knew the limitless power, the omnipotence of Almighty God, and had faith that God does answer prayers personally and specifically if and when they be in His will. And it may be that your prayer today is answered because it is in the perfect will of the Almighty. And so, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your" what? "Your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7. And in Hannah's case, Hannah's prayer was answered much greater than she could have even expected. We know that she had 6 children, as we read on upon the second chapter of 1 Samuel. And she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. Our God is so powerful, He can even resurrect the dead. And you know how I know this? He proved it. He did it himself. And he proved it by many infallible proofs. And he challenged those in his day through the Apostle Paul. "If you don't believe me, here, I'm going to give you my address book. And there are 500 people who saw him at one time. Most of them are still around. Give them a call. Write them a letter. Shoot them an email. They'll let you know." Our God rose from the dead. And because He lives, you, Christian, will live also. "The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints." In another place, "The glory of the Lord will be the rear guard of His saints. But the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn," literally, "the strength of His anointed." not only the Christ, but those who have cast their lot with Jesus the Christ, and in so doing, have inherited eternal life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your awesome word, for the example of this great godly woman of old, Hannah. May you bless each one in attendance this morning and in my hearing via media. Bless our mothers, our grandmothers. Help us to conduct ourselves in a manner honoring to them and honoring to you, Lord Jesus. May you superintend the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.